In with us right now, Drew Kripe, Senior Vice President of Commercial Banking, and Jared Stillwell, I still can't believe you're an adult, Assistant Vice President of Ag and Commercial Banking at the Farmers Bank. And we thank you guys for coming. We always love to have the Farmers Bank here to talk about finances because it is so important. I know both of you grew up in ag community. You have ag backgrounds, which has to add to being able to help producers out there and help them when it comes to doing the balance sheets and looking at their finances. And that's got to be, I wouldn't want to be in the ag community right now. I mean, it would scare me to death.
Yeah, we're at, you know, 3 years of tight margin years for row crop operations. I think both Drew, Kendra, myself, and Taryn Wainscott, all of our ag team at the Farmers Bank, we all have experience and grew up on farm row crop operations. So I think that experience, you know, daily management of kind of our own farms helps us and is really beneficial to all of us and the work that we do at the Farmers Bank. It's definitely not been a fun time with commodity prices where they've been. Working capital is tight, but I think we're potentially on the comeback trail here in the next couple of years. So that's where we're at today with the Farmers Bank.
Yeah, I don't have a lot to add there. I completely agree. You know, often said when you're talking about lenders, you know, you can teach a kid with a ag background, you can teach them commercial lending, but it's very tough to teach somebody that has no ag background at all. Or a commercial lender, ag lending. It's not very transferable. So always said that that farm kids could run the world if we needed to. So
yeah, I think that adds a lot of value. Even as somebody, you know, working with an ag banker, working with someone that has an idea of the ins and outs of farming, because it's not always black and white. You know, like we would like to see. So that brings a lot of value, you know, as a farmer. What could you guys maybe, you mentioned, Jared, a few minutes ago, several years of tight margins, and, you know, maybe just give us your thoughts or your overall pulse on, you know, what is the current status of the farm economy? You know, we talked with Dr. Langemeyer a little bit about the farmer sentiment, and you know, it's kind of trending up, but it's still less than it was a year ago. What are you guys seeing locally or with your customers?
So like I mentioned earlier, I mean, we're at tighter margins. Working capital is tighter. Overall for the pulse, I think I would agree with Dr. Langemeyer that overall sentiment from farmers is growing. It's probably not where it was the last couple of years. Or previously, it's probably better than where it has been the last couple of years. But I think globally we have some impacts right now that are kind of helping. We've seen a rally in the commodity markets the last couple of weeks, but we also see fertilizer and oil prices that have increased the last couple of weeks. So I think having a good baseline of your break-evens is very important for our farmers. I think I just looked at the WASDE report from March, and they're projecting a record corn crop for 2025 or 2026, ending stocks about 37% higher than last year. So I think corn is going to be a little tougher. Soybeans, they're still projecting about 91 million, I believe, acres here this year. But those are kind of what we're seeing on the pulse of the market.
Yeah, just a little bit there. I guess, you know, from just my personal opinion, I'm a little more optimistic for this year than I have been in the past. You know, it's hard, you know, when you look at just one point in time, but if you say, okay, look what's happened since the start of the year, you even take out the what's going on in Iran, well, we've had a lot of marketing opportunities, some that we didn't even see the prior year. Again, sometimes it's you got to luck out. I know some producers at the end of the year, they needed cash, and so they had to move grain, or maybe they don't have on-farm storage. But there is opportunities out there, and I think that's where you're seeing, you know, maybe we'll get to this here today yet, but you talk about, well, some are profitable, some are not, and where's the difference there? Well, I'd say on-farm storage is a big piece of it. If you're not able to store your crop in the fall, especially in these big crop years, you saw it right now. What you could, if you were able to store your beans from just going from harvest price, you could have $2 a bushel gain this year pretty easily so far. Corn, anywhere from 60 to 75 cents. So that's a lot of money anymore with talking about the amount of bushels. So those type of things. Fuel's up right now because of the Iran conflict, but you had an opportunity a month ago to lock in some pretty good prices. So that doesn't help those that didn't right now. But I guess what I say is, you know, there's opportunities, and those that have their finger on the pulse of what's going on and realize, okay, hey, now's time to strike, you have the opportunity to be profitable this year, in my opinion. Again, that's all being said before the crop's even in the ground and see what the weather brings us this spring. So, but I'm hopeful.
Well, that's the other thing I was going to ask was, you know, you're talking about the potential of corn crop being even bigger, and we already have big corn crops now as it is. But will some producers look at that? I mean, for the most part, most of them have got their seed already locked in. They've already got their fertilizer. They've got all that locked in. But they always you got to leave that little bit of wiggle room because you don't know what Mother Nature is going to do. You got to be able to give yourself the chance to flip that if you have to. Do you think some of them will look at that projection and maybe flip their crop just because of the potential of the corn crop driving prices down, and then, you know, they'll flip the beans just to maybe give themselves a better chance?
I think you could definitely see that here in the next couple of months, here before planting, just on potential for the market and where the government thinks it's going from production-wise and price-wise and demand. I mean, China didn't buy hardly any soybeans last year, so that's not been great for producers. All of our producers out there know that. But the U.S. continues to find additional uses for soybeans and corn domestically. So I think that helps drive some synergies in the commodity prices for corn and soybeans.
Yeah, I'd agree with Jared. You might see some switch. By and large here locally, we typically year-to-year don't see a lot of that fluctuation or people chasing the market. Some guys, they're just better corn producers with the land we have here, especially locally in Clinton County. But, yeah, you very well might see that. I feel like, though, that market, that swings things in maybe the southern states more than it does here, but it's certainly something to keep an eye on.
Are you seeing, as guys are finalizing their balance, I mean, let's face it, everybody's finalizing. This is refinance time. Everybody's signing their paperwork. Everybody's getting everything done so that when Mother Nature decides to get off of this menopause switch or whatever the heck it is, whenever she gets off of this cold spell that she thinks we need, you know, they're ready to go when they get out there. Are you seeing them maybe rethinking, changing a little bit of their fertilizers, their chemicals? Are they looking at trying to find a way to cut those costs? Because those costs are not going away. They just keep climbing. Even though they've locked a lot of that in, again, you're still looking at, just because you locked it in doesn't mean it's going to stay there.
I'd say the big piece there is, yes, we had the conversations of, hey, maybe not fertilize for more than just this crop year. I've heard a lot of guys saying that. The other thing is that some of the additives, biologics, the different things that we have out there today that we think they enhance yield. Some maybe even have data. Well, they really have to be able to prove themselves. And I'm hearing a lot of guys say, hey, I'm not going to take a risk, or I'm not going to maybe put that extra money in those items. I'm going to go for the things that will guarantee me a return. So I've been hearing a lot of that. Not so much, hey, am I going to just not fertilize or those type of things. It's been more, hey, I'm not willing to maybe experiment this year. I'm going to go with what I need and move on. So
I know you guys don't. You guys deal with production agriculture, but you also deal with ag businesses as well. We talked to Adam a lot, and he helps with the forefront of teaching people how to use drones, and we talked a lot about drone usage now and maybe the economical values of that. Are you starting to see some of your producers look at that kind of technology, and not only that technology, but also looking in that their technology on their equipment? Because let's face it, every tractor's got a computer anymore. And yeah. Don't put me on it. Anyway, you see where I'm going with this, and how that technology can maybe help them, and help you help them.
Yeah, I mean, let's face it. Today, there's a lot of data out there. So the more that we can help our clients use that data to provide beneficial analysis of crop yield, certain field yield, just break evens, so that they have a better idea going into the year for that. I think that's important from a from the drone perspective. I don't think we have a significant amount of producers in our portfolio that are looking at that. I think just hearsay, I know some farmers that are looking at potentially utilizing those companies that do drone services for their acres instead of some co-ops potentially. But I wouldn't say specifically that a lot of our producers are looking at that side of the technology.
Yeah, it does provide a lot of opportunity, though. And we have some. It gives you the capability as a producer to go, okay, hey, this spot in the field needs X, you know, whether it be from insect to fertilizer or whatnot. The drones give us a lot of capability that, you know, going in with a regular ground rig would really tear some things up. So I think that as we continue in the future, especially as maybe margins increase, there's probably going to be a lot more people look at that. Just right now, I'm sure I'm not telling anybody in the audience, equipment purchases are been staying at a minimum lately just because of the margins. So,
well, and I mean, even beyond drones, the just doing it, technology as far as automatic shutoffs on planter units or site-specific see and spray technology, there's some advancements and an investment in that technology. But if it can save you on the back end these expensive inputs, not putting them out there where they're not needed, I think there's a lot of potential there. And I don't know if you guys seen those kind of investments. And like you said, maybe right now is not the time to invest, but maybe it is when things are tight. What's your thoughts on doing something like that that's going to save you money more in the long run?
Sure. I mean, the first thing I thought of when you were mentioning that is it's all about size and scale, right? So definitely our larger operators, certainly, they've got that. They've had it, for the smaller operation, though. When you sit there and have to pencil it out and say, okay, how long is this going to take to pay? Well, it just takes a lot longer. So, but if you're of any size and scale, yeah, those technologies will pay and they make sense. Again, you got to have the balance sheet in place and be able to borrow the money to do it if you don't have the cash. So it's tough to do after a tight margin year, but they'll pay if you can pay for it.
And we have a lot of conversation internally about each operation is different. So we look at our balance sheets and income statements, accruals, on an operation-by-operation basis. So leading to Drew's point, I mean, the bigger operators, they're able to pencil. But for your smaller operators, you've got to pencil it out over 5, 10, 15 years. Maybe it doesn't make sense today. So I think that's important for us is we look at every farmer and producer on a different basis.
Maybe I can ask this, maybe I can't. I'm going to throw it out there. So bridge payments started hitting this past week. What are you guys, are farmers holding on to those for tight times? Are they making some investments? Are they paying off debt? What are you guys maybe seeing with that? And maybe I'm out of my wheelhouse here bringing that up, but I'm just curious.
I'll say the prudent decision and the decision the bank wants to make is to pay down your operating debt with that. But have we seen that? I haven't heard a lot of my producers say, hey, what should I do with this? And I would enjoy that conversation, especially with rates. I mean, rates on the short-term rates are still pretty high for the last 20 years. So I would say that bridge payments did start hitting. I haven't seen a significant swing in any of our stuff.
They're not bringing truckloads of
dollars. Our deposits went up, I'll say that.
No, I think as fast as it's coming in, you know, it's going right back out for input. So you asked if are people putting it away for a rainy day. I doubt there's a lot of that going on right now. It's getting thrown right into the cash flow. So helps, but it's certainly not a fixed offer for what we've gone through the last couple of years.
Well, I know one of the things that I've always admired in our community, we have banks that encourage producers to, and actually help them, look at other lending possibilities, because maybe it's a better interest rate. Maybe it's one of those deals where you finance it now, you don't have to pay it, until you don't have any interest or anything. It's zero interest until fall, that kind of thing. How do you guys approach your producers about that and help them with that?
You know, I'd say we try to give our producers a heads up when there's opportunities out there. And, again, it helps us, the bank, if our producers are profitable, and it helps them. So any time that we see an opportunity for them that we think is going to help them out, we try to let them know. You know, as far as some of – I know there's some input providers or, you know, I won't mention names out there, but there's some opportunities out there for 0% financing this year. Certainly letting our borrowers know, especially those that were, hey, maybe working capital's tight and maybe we can't get them the size of operating line they need just because of their position they're in. I hope they're taking advantage of those opportunities, and we try to point those out. So.
Well, and I think that's one of the things I find refreshing, because it's not – you're not necessarily building your bottom line by them doing that, but there again, longevity – they're going to keep coming back to somebody who's willing to make sure that they're successful. And that's something that I find refreshing.
It all comes back to relationship.
Yeah, it does. And, I mean, this might be a really good segue to go in, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. Relationships. Farmers Bank has been around for over 100 years.
150
this year, yeah.
Yeah, it is the anniversary year. And then they merge. So we've had a lot of people wanting to know. They're worried. I don't want to say they're worried. I think they're just interested in how it's going to work. And there is a little bit of concern. Is that going to change the way the Farmers Bank looks at, especially agriculture, because there's not that many large banks that even want to look at agriculture. They don't want to touch it. They don't want to go anywhere near it. So I know that was one of the things that we talked about. We wanted to make sure that we addressed, and I'm going to give you the time to do that.
Yeah, for it to Drew.
Yeah, so certainly, yes, the merger is upcoming. The details are still getting ironed out, but I'm sure many of her were merging with First Bank Richmond. I guess the main highlights there is, number one, while, yes, we will be a bigger bank, we're still the smallest bank in this community, in the Clinton County community, even after the merger. The other thing is that they are a community bank, a very like-minded community bank. So they're rooted in Richmond. We are here in Frankfort. They've been around over 140 years. We've been around right at 150 now. So our philosophy to the community is very similar. As far as directly today, the question you're asking is the ag producers, it's not going to change. Still here. Jared's still here. Kendra, Taryn, our ag lending staff is still in place. The process that they go through and the people they talk to for their operating needs and whatnot will not change. Our number is the same. We're going to pick up the phone and talk to us. And so that's the main thing. I know there's always concern about bank mergers, acquisitions, those type of things, but all I can tell you right now is it's going to be business as usual.
That's what everybody wanted to hear, and I know we wanted to get that clarified. We're getting close We are getting close. God, that goes fast. We are getting, I know it does. It always goes way too fast for that kind of stuff. And I also appreciate the fact that you passed the buck really quickly.
Well, you know.
Seniority.
Yeah.
I was going to say.
He sits in on higher level meetings than I do. So.
Yeah. Throw it back to seniority, yeah. All right, I'm gonna take this back just a little bit. I've known both of you guys for years. You were both, I want to call you FFA brats. You guys were both my FFA brats, to be specific, which is pretty wild at this point. But let's talk about those young people that are coming up, the ones that are looking at either going into production agriculture or even going into agribusiness, that kind of thing. What would be your advice to them? Just starting out, if they're going into school, like Jared, you went into. I mean, we talked when you were a senior, and this is what you wanted to do. I mean, you had this on your heart for a long time. What would your advice be to those people that are looking at this and wanting to go into this business, but they see the volatility of it?
I would say look at the long term, and the long term is positive for the ag economy, for just ag producers. I would say it's definitely a different world than it was 100 years ago, even 50 years ago. But my advice would be focused on what you want to do, know what you want to do, and surround yourself with a group of individuals that are like-minded, that have connections. One of the biggest things for me taking away from Purdue was the connections I made. Now I still talk to a lot of people that were in some of the fraternities that I met. Some of them work at large corporations within the ag community. I call, talk to them very frequently. So I think building your network of people around you is probably the most important thing for any career, really, but specifically for ag here in Central Indiana. So that would be my advice.
It's not a big world.
On the outside, from, you know, coming around now, it's not a big world. So,
yep.
I love that.
Yeah, it's not so much about what you know, it's who you know a lot of times. So just to tag along with Jared. Now, I think you can come at this from a couple different angles. If you're somebody that's part of a farm family that's looking to continue that on, I would encourage you to get out of your farm experience. So whether that's working for a neighboring farm or an agribusiness, that any type of insight that you can gain to bring knowledge back to the farm would be great. Now, if you're going the other way, if you're coming from maybe you don't have a family farm and you're wanting to get into it, it's going to be a hard road. but there will be opportunities. And what I would say is take any opportunity you can to learn, even if that's unpaid, and realize that you're going to have to start from the ground up and you're going to have to learn the hard tasks. Say you go work on a farm, you're not probably going to be a steering wheel operator immediately. You're going to have to put your time in and figure it out. So, what Jared said is exactly right. Build your network, get to know people, listen to those that do a good job and learn from them.
Last question. Seeing what the markets are doing, it's been a roller coaster. We have no idea what the tariffs are going to do to us. We don't know what the international market is going to do, because let's face it, we already know China's not going to buy. They say they are, but they don't. I mean, come on, let's be realistic. But we're looking at. I mean, they do. They drop out every time. We're going to buy this much, and then now.
We're supposed to be meeting with them soon.
Uh-huh. Exactly. So quit listening to China people. Let's get over that. But what would you tell right now if you had a producer walk in your door and say, hey, I'm just not really sure what I need to follow, what would be some of your suggestions to them getting ready to go into this planting season and looking ahead?
I'd say the story is the same as it's always been. You have to do it. You have to do the paperwork. You have to know your numbers, figure out your break even, so that way you know where to start from. As far as we are not marketing experts, you know, we're lenders. But as far as marketing advice, I always tell people, you know, make gradual sales. Again, but it's a lot easier to do when you know your break even. fortunately, this year, hopefully, you can sell above break even. We've had some opportunities, like I said earlier. It's a lot tougher to walk through that when you're looking at your break even and you're having to sell below it. But just gradual incremental sales, know your numbers. If you start there, I'll tell you this. All of our successful operators have a very good handle on their numbers. Every single one of them. So if that gives you one clue, maybe start there.
And I would say be realistic in your expectations for the year. I think if you're conservative, but if you're aggressive, you know, you probably need to land in the middle of that to be realistic for the year. So that's also important to keep in mind.
Gentlemen, we are at our time.
Okay.
And I hope everyone understands or could hear the professionalism, the expertise, and the compassion that these folks have, these gentlemen have, and it's exuded, and I'm sure it extends through all of the Farmers Bank folks. So I just want to say thank you. You've brought a lot of great information to us this morning, as you always do. And do we want to give contact information? Or
if anybody's interested, sure.
If you guys want to give out the phone number or an email as we wrap up, but... I just want to say thank you, and it's really always a pleasure to work with you guys.
Yeah, thanks for having us. If anyone wants to contact us, you can just come into the main branch at the Frankfort branch. That's going to be our headquarters after the merger. So you can come in there. Drew's office is in there. My office is in there. Taryn's office is in there. But if you wanted to call, you can call the main line, 765-654-8731. And then my extension is 3660. I'm not sure what Drew's is, but we'd be happy to pass along the information.
3670.
When yep. You're in the office.
Oh, I'm there. I'm there. Don't worry.
If you see the Farmers Bank truck out in the parking lot, you know he's there. You got tagged with that. We enjoy having Drew Kripes, Senior Vice President of the Commercial Banking side, and Jared Stillwell, Assistant Vice President of the Ag and Commercial Banking for the Farmers Bank, here to talk about finances and talk about what our producers can do to help themselves. Know your numbers. Great advice. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with Soil and Water Conservation District. Lord, I can't think this morning. These guys have got me all flustered. So, but we'll be back with them here on Ag Day, presented by Skiles Electric on WILO, Boone 1027, and Hoosier Land TV.
When you need reliable electrical maintenance and contracting services, Skiles Electric is the name to trust. Proudly serving